Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
When Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker and Lieutenant Governor Karen Polito decided not to run for re-election this year, they created wide-open contests to succeed them. That's especially true in the race to succeed Polito. More people are running to be the next lieutenant governor than for any other statewide office. WBUR's Anthony Brooks reports on why so many people are running for a position with so little power.
Many Massachusetts voters might be wondering what the lieutenant governor even does. The answer, according to the state constitution, is very little. Job one, be ready to step in if the sitting governor gets too sick to serve, dies, or leaves office. Beyond that, the lieutenant governor sits on the governor's council, an arcane body that meets a few hours a month to consider judicial nominations, pardons, and commutations. That is pretty much it. And yet, right now, lieutenant governor is the most sought-after elected position in the state.
So it is with a great honor that I announce my bid to be your next lieutenant governor.
My name is Kim Driscoll. I'm the mayor of Salem, and I'm running to be your next lieutenant governor.
That's why I'm running for lieutenant governor, by acting honestly and decisively on COVID-19.
When I was a kid, my community and our government had our back. I'm running for lieutenant governor to make sure we have yours.
In total, 8 people are running, 6 Democrats and 2 Republicans. 4 are women. You just heard some of them, including State Rep Tammy Govea, State Senator Adam Hines, Salem Mayor Kim Driscoll, and former State Rep Kate Campanelli. Also running are State Senator Eric Lesser and former State Rep Leah Cole Allen, as well as businessman Brett Barrow and Scott Donahue. But what's the attraction of a job with so few responsibilities?
If it has no responsibilities, then you can create and judge me on what I want to create and do. I was really excited by that.
This is Evelyn Murphy. She was elected lieutenant governor in 1986, the first woman in Massachusetts history to become a constitutional officer. Murphy says lieutenant governors work in partnership with the governor and can define their own agenda. In her case, that meant working with cities and towns to help them make long-term plans.
What I wanted to do was create a way to use the freedom of the office to sort of say to all the communities in the state, take a look ahead and see what you're going to need in terms of schools, in terms of healthcare, in terms of housing, so that you've got a plan and let's work on it together to see what the state's role might be.
Murphy says becoming lieutenant governor also provides a good shot at becoming governor. In fact, out of 72 lieutenant governors, more than a third went on to serve as governor or acting governor. In Murphy's case, she was an early favorite in 1990 to win the Democratic nomination, though her campaign faded and she eventually dropped out. But other recent lieutenant governors, including Paul Cellucci and Jane Swift, did ascend to the corner office. John Kerry vaulted from lieutenant governor to U.S. Senator and then to Secretary of State. And Calvin Coolidge, another Massachusetts lieutenant governor, went all the way to the White House. But because the job is so loosely defined, it often attracts people with little or no political experience. That includes 2 of this year's Democrats, businessman Brett Barrow and Scott Donahue. And back in 1994, it included Bob Massey, a grassroots organizer running for office for the first time.
The lieutenant governor is kind of this place where you can be creative and where unusual people can run and win the primary. I'm an example of that.
After Massey won the Democratic nomination, he lost to the Republican ticket of Bill Weld and Paul Cellucci. But he says running for lieutenant governor offered a valuable introduction to statewide electoral politics, though he often faced the same 2 questions.
First question is, why do you believe that you are qualified for the second highest constitutional office in the state of Massachusetts? And the second question was, why do you want this do-nothing job?
Indeed, a lack of political experience is certainly no barrier to entry to political office in the United States, even for president. Ronald Reagan proved that. So did Donald Trump.
And people say, well, how did he win? He had short, simple messages, 3 words, build the wall, drain the swamp, lock her up, make America great.
Jimmy Tingle, a political activist and comedian, ran for lieutenant governor in 2018. He says if Trump could use his skills as an entertainer to win the White House, he thought he could use his to become lieutenant governor.
And I said in my campaign speech, we have our own three words: feed the hungry, house the homeless, heal the sick, welcome the stranger, and I would add, fix the tea.
Tingle lost the Democratic nomination to Quentin Palfrey that year. In fact, the history of Massachusetts lieutenant governors shows that experience usually matters. Virtually all of the winning candidates had backgrounds in politics and elective office, from Sam Adams, who served as the state's third lieutenant governor, to Karen Pulido, who's serving now. But that hasn't stopped outsiders from running anyway.
Fix the tea, Anthony. If John F. Kennedy could inspire a generation to go to the moon, we can get a train to go to Springfield.
Pithy campaign pledges weren't enough for Tingle. Now, eight new candidates are crafting their own strategy to win the state's second highest office. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Anthony Brooks.